the man had a wooden leg, and he stood there staring at the man. He lifted up his leg and said, "Look at this." And the guy, looking at it, said, "So what? I've got one too." And he lifted up his own wooden leg. And they touched the bottom of their legs together like they were as if they were feet. And they ran in unison, which means the same way, together, down the street. And they caught the bus just in time. The man who had the wooden leg had a little rubber nodule on the bottom of it. A little gripper. And he got up there and he showed the bus driver. "Look at this," he said. Bus driver said, "Oh yeah? Well, I got one too." So now there were three people with wooden legs in the same bus. He says, "Come on in, you don't have to pay. Just go to the back of the bus and hide yourself." Yeah. He said, "Okay, I'll do that." And there's a little girl sitting there. She says, "Oh my gosh, what happened to you?" He says, "Nothing happened to me, I just have a wooden leg." She says, "Look, I thought I had one, but I don't. It's kind of a skinny leg. I thought I had a wooden leg just like you, but mine hurts when I pinch it."
"Mine hurts when I pinch it.
And plus, these shoes, I don't think they fit. Notice how they fall off when I try to stand up." So the bus driver hollered back, "Has anybody got any water?" And the guy with the wooden leg with the hat on, he said, "Yeah, I've got some." And he reached behind him and he pulled himself out of a canteen. And he picked it up like a baseball and threw it straight at the bus driver. The bus driver was lucky he turned around because he caught it in the head and it fell into his lap. He opened it up and he started to drink. When he was done drinking, he put it down and said, "What the heck was that?" He says, "I've had that for the last 6 months. I never did want to drink out of it. But you went ahead and did it. Now I can fill it up again," he said. So, now we're going to go off into Never Never Land. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Nobody was on the plane when it was going, but it sure seemed like a rocky ride. The pilot heard thumping all over the top of his cabin. And the stewardesses, as they were going around, they saw things outside that they wouldn't even want to explain to any of the passengers. The plane was just shuddering and bumping all over the place. The little kid in the back had a cowboy hat on and he was shooting his cap gun and she had to keep telling him, "Don't do that, you're bothering the passengers. We've already got problems here." And the little old lady sitting in row 6, seat number 23, she said, "What's all the noise about on top of the airplane?" She says, "Oh, never mind, ma'am. It's just a turbulence. Just going through the clouds that are rough." She says, "I kind of doubt that. I saw one of the big dents in the roof. Did that come from the clouds?" No, that actually didn't. We have a feeling we accidentally picked up Jimmy before we took off from the airport. And now he's on top of the plane and we can't get him off."
"Do you mean Jimmy, the kid that was hovering around the pilot and co-pilot and asking him silly questions?"
"Yeah, he's the one.
"Why didn't you just let him get out of here and not bother us?"
"Well, that's the problem. He wants to be a pilot, and we won't let him fly the plane."
"Well, that's a good idea. We don't want no kids driving our planes, riding them around through space like this."
"That's what we were trying to explain to him. He doesn't even have a license." "But there he is in front. Look." And the little old lady looked out to the front of the window, and there he was, looking inside.
"Oh, my gosh," she said, "he's just all a big mess."
"Of course he's a mess," said the pirate, said the stewardess. "Of course he's a mess. He's been on top of the plane and on the wings and all about the windows and everything. And he was even in the front of the airplane trying to scare the passenger, the pilots."
"Well, get him out of here."
"That's what we're trying to do. That's why the... Hold on now, because the pilot's going to make a right sharp turn.
Oh, that was a rough one. It sure was. I'm glad I got my seatbelt on. I know, said the stewardess. I wish I had it on, too. But that's when everything started to change.
Went straight from the small car to the big car. And the big car had rubber wheels. Small car had steel wheels. Didn't make much sense to have that small car running along the back track until they realized it was electric. Those electric tires on there, the ones that are made out of iron, steel, were just perfect for that. And every ball that rolled by over the street was a red ball. Now, why was that? The driver said. Why is it that every time we come down this street, a red ball bounces across? You know, I can't quite figure it out. I know we're by a school, that I can understand, but why is it a red ball keeps on bouncing in front of the car as we go driving by? Nobody could explain that one. Nobody could explain why the telephone wires on the telephone poles were white. They're usually black. But this was strange. We had white wires everywhere. No more black wires, they say. White looked better. So they put white cable lines into houses and white electrical lines all over town and just everything. All the cable was white. That was the strangest sight I've ever seen, said one man. Not as strange as this, he said, and he held up a hamburger and inside of it there was a dollar bill. I got this from the corner hamburger spot. You know, Chucky's Hamburgers? Yeah, they put a dollar in every hamburger for you. Ooh, that's a good idea, isn't it? Oh, yeah, sure, that's a real nice idea. Do they wash the dollar before they put it in? I don't know, but it's a dollar bill. That's all I care about, folded nice and neat right here in the hamburger. Huh, what do you think we're going to do about that? For one thing, they couldn't count change, so they had no idea how to do that. But they did know how to count dollar bills. You okay, Ma?
Mm-hmm.
And they counted the dollar bills for 3 days. They kept up to $417,000, all from Chucky's Burgers. And they were real, too. Real dollar bills. Not this fake stuff like you get from across the street. These were real dollar bills. That's one thing they liked about that place. They always went by every day. With the dollar bill they bought, they went back and bought another hamburger or two. And inside every one of those hamburgers was a dollar bill. The green car drove by, then the big white truck, then the yellow bus, and last but not least, that black, beautiful, black, long, sleek Mercedes-Benz. What a beautiful car. And inside, there was a masked man. He had a kind of a brownish, reddish hat on, and he had a mask that was like the Lone Ranger. And he sat in the middle of the seat in the back of the car, and he just let him drive all over wherever he went. He went down Washington Road one day, and he came back across a Millbury Lane the other day. And then when I saw him going across Main Street, right over the interstate, he all of a sudden disappeared. We didn't even know where he went till we turned our head and saw him come out of the gas station. And that was a fluke thing because we never knew they even stopped for gas. We always thought those cars always had gas no matter what, no matter how much they used them. But the guy standing there with his blue pants knew the answer. He said, number 5. And number 5 is exactly what they were looking for, because if he would have said any other number but 5, he would have been asked to go back to Cedar City, which is about 10 miles away. He'd have to work back in the factory. He'd have to do all that silly stuff that he was doing day after day, night after night. Sure, it was an important job, but he couldn't stand doing it anymore. Now, how would you like to put a stick inside of a hole, let it sit there for 3 minutes, and then staple a small piece of paper onto it every single day, time and time and time again, continuously, over and over again? And you'd have to do it for day and day and night, because they'd always ask him just at the end of his shift, they'd say, would you work all night? And of course he'd say yes, because he needed the money. And that's when he learned about his glasses. His glasses weren't just ordinary glasses. They were Coke bottle glasses. He's heard about them, and they've talked about them, but he actually had them. And when you put them on his ears, they just kind of hung there. They hung, and they hung low. He knew they were good. When people saw them and the glasses were hanging low, they said, "Ooh, you got a nice, expensive pair of glasses there. Where'd you get them?" He said, "Down at the shop. They make glasses like this all the time. I was one of the lucky ones. I got my pair for half price." So, of course, everybody was happy about that. Bill gave John some Cheetos. The Cheetos weren't necessarily the best in the world, but, you know, he liked them. He thought they were pretty good, actually. That's when he gave him a hamburger that was kind of like half-eaten, but it really didn't matter because they knew each other. The bag was torn, don't know why, to this day. The girl sitting beside him had something wrong with her pigtail. They couldn't quite figure out what it was. It was kind of, I don't know if you'd call it goopy or wet or what, but it just didn't work right. Nobody really wanted to look at her while they were eating, so they all turned their back to her. And she said, "Why does everybody turn their back to me just because my pigtail is wet?" Nobody would even answer her. They just had everybody had their back to her. They just sat there with their back to her. And then this young kid, brand new guy, sitting on a stool in front of her, turned around and looked at her and said, "You know, I think I know what your problem is." And she said, "What?" He said, "I have a feeling that you're getting too close to the clouds when you fly." He said, "I don't know about that." He said, "Yeah, it's a known fact that anybody who gets close to a cloud when they're flying across country, no matter where, you're going to get your pigtails wet." She said, "Really?" He said, "Yes, of course. That's a known fact. Anybody in a factory can tell you that. Look at the guy over there in the conveyor belt. Look, notice the side of his hair, the right side of his hair when he turns this way. What do you notice about it?" She says, "You know what? It looks wet. I know. I know what you mean. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He just took a flight last week and his hair still isn't dry." "Well, something is up," she said. "Maybe I'll go down to the beauty salon and have him dry it." "Oh, you can't dry hair like that. When it's wet from the clouds like that, I mean, that's a different kind of wet. That isn't like wet from like water wet. That's rainwater wet. And that's a lot different than regular water. So we're going to have to take you down to the circus, put you up on that stage and let people look at you. Maybe somebody will have a suggestion how you can make it dry." And she said, "You know, it's been wet like this for a good 3-4 months. That's how long it's been since I flew." He said, "Yeah, it'll probably be like that for even longer. I suggest going to the circus and let them try to figure something out for you." That's when she was handed a paper. "Direct from the boss. This message comes to you from the boss," the guy said. And she started to read it. It was a poem. And as she was reading it, her bottom lip started to quiver. And her eyebrows began to sag. And all of a sudden, her eyes swelled up with water. And a tear after another tear started to come out. "Oh, what's the matter? What's the message?" "He's telling me that I've got to work graveyard tomorrow night." "You don't like to work all night long?" "No, I don't want to work all night long. Because when I work all night long, I've got to wear my hush puppy shoes." "So what's wrong with that?" "Well, I'm supposed to wear steel-toed shoes, and I can't. I have to wear my hush puppies." "Oh, that's real nice. Soft shoe like that shouldn't even be allowed in this factory. You know, we shouldn't even be talking about it. We need to be talking about steel-toed shoes. That's what's important. And what about the chocolate? Did you eat the chocolate before the meal yesterday when I told you not to?" "Yes, yes I did," she said. "But it was so tempting, I couldn't help it. The chocolate was so delicious. You know, after the first bite, I couldn't stop," she said. "Of course you couldn't stop. You did that just at a time when you were so hungry, you could not stop eating the chocolate. It's a known fact. Everybody could tell you that. I would recommend going to the light room and get some light putting on your face and back and arms. You know, the green light and the blue light, the purple light. Get them to get on your skin all over the place and get rid of that chocolate flavor. You can do it. I know you can do it if you try. So that's why we would recommend doing that now. Before it's too late. Before the headlight on your car burns out, or the back light on your bike burns out, or even the door light in your front of your house, the front entry light, before that goes out. You've got to think of something before somebody thinks of it first. No matter what book you open, no matter what page you go to, no matter what newspaper you open up, or no matter what radio station you listen to, no matter what TV station you watch, no matter what magazine you look at, no matter what letter you open, everything will always tell you what to do on a Thursday afternoon about 5 o'clock when the padlocks are all locked across town. Everybody will take a padlock and lock something across town. Happens every week. Same thing, same story. And then the next day, of course, they can't find their keys, or they forgot the combination, or they put it on too tight and can't get it off, or it swelled up overnight. Regardless what it is, there's always problems the next day. And how are we going to solve something like that? We need to vote. We need to vote. Everybody needs to get together. And even the people with the yellow hats and the blue hats, we've got to get together and vote. And if we don't vote, we're not going to find an answer. Even if the ship comes right directly up to you, even if the airplane flies directly over the top of your head, however it works, it doesn't really matter as long as we vote. Now, you could spell vote, V-O-T-E, or you can spell vote any other way you want to spell it. But no matter how it's spelled, it's going to still mean the same thing. And we know, of course, we've all heard it before, that a diamond earring or a diamond ring is not going to hold up under pressure when you put it under a lot of pressure. Sometimes when they come to buy stuff like this, they bring along a pair of pliers and they squeeze. And we tell them, don't squeeze too hard. You know, the diamond's not going to break, but whatever it's in is going to break. Whether it's a ring or a necklace or some kind of a brooch or whatever it might be. And if it breaks, you're paying for it. Sure, you're going to pay for it. But who can outright afford $2,000-$3,000 at a whim? You know, some people can, sure. Like Gary over there. Yeah, he has a lot of money, we can tell that. He always wears that scarf, you know, and those high-gloss black shoes, and that briefcase he carries around day and night. I don't even know what's in that thing. But no matter how you look at it, you've got to have an answer. And the answer's got to come direct. You can't go around the other side asking other people for an answer that you're looking for from somebody else. You've got to go right to that person and ask him specifically for the answer. And when you get it, you can take the kite anywhere you want. You can take the kite to the beach. You can take it to the park. You can even take it on the main highway and fly that kite like you've never flown a kite before in your entire life. And you can let the tail hang on the kite. You can get the kite up 500 feet, 1,000 feet. And even on a rainy day, if you want to fly that kite, you can do it. It may be dangerous, and you may possibly get shocked, but you can do it if you really wanted to. Even a little boy pulling the wagon across the street would tell you that. In fact, he's the one that told me about the cab. Yeah, the cab that came down the street the other day had 14 people in the cab. Now, that's illegal. Now, you know they don't have 14 seat belts in a car. So how do you think they got by? How do you think they all got into the car? And I have a feeling that possibly the driver knew them all and was giving them a free ride. That's what I think. That's why I was asking 7 people across town, maximum, what it was that they thought should have been done as opposed to what actually was done. And every one of them agreed that the fire alarm up on the wall was a little bit too low and had to be raised up. Now, it doesn't mean much, but it means a lot under a condition where it's required for use. So whether you're using a fan or an air conditioner or some kind of a cooling mechanism of some sort, whether it's a swamp cooler, no matter what it is, they all need an adjustment. And the adjustment can come directly from the aviation division. It can come from the pharmaceutical department. It could even come from, of all places, the mechanic across the street. He can make an adjustment to fix that thing so it works perfectly fine every time. Even after working on a bike, it doesn't matter. He could be working on a car, a bike, a boat, an airplane, and he could make it work 100%, providing he had the right manual to work with. A lot of times you can't get a D14 manual or an FP67. Those are really difficult to find, but you can do it if you really try and make an effort to ask people, to contact people, to call people. Even people wearing blue shoes could have the answer. People wearing red shoes could have the answer, but it probably wouldn't be right. And that's why I've always said, watching TV on Thursdays is not the same as watching TV on Friday or Saturday. And anybody who watches TV on Sunday can tell you one thing, that the commercials are too long. And why is it that they play the commercials an extra 15 seconds on Sunday? Is it because people are laid back and don't pay attention, so they need to pump out the commercial longer? Well, those answers and more can be answered through the National Geographic Association. And the blankets on a bed, or the small door in the back room, or the hallway, they can be put together, and they can be made into something, something that really has bearing and meaning. And it can be done with plants. Plants are the answer to most everything. And it could all be done within 24 hours of being notified. And that's a known fact.